إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned in the Quran, he asked a question and he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, أفلا يتدبرون القرآن أم على قلوب أقفالها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do they not reflect on the Quran? أفلا يتدبرون, do they not make tadabbur on the Quran? أم على قلوب أقفالها, or is it that their hearts are sealed, that they have locks on their hearts? I remind myself and you that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came for a purpose. Something has a purpose. There are also frills attached with it. For example, if you buy a nice car, the purpose of buying that car, whether it is a Maruti 800 or whether it is a Rolls Royce, the purpose is only one, which is transportation. But also, if you see the car, you feel happy about it, it looks nice, and so on and so on. So it has other frills. But if somebody buys a car and then he takes it and puts it in his drawing room, maybe he takes down one side of the house to put the car inside or whatever, but he puts it in the drawing room. So when you go there, you see this car in the drawing room. And he says, I kept it here because it looks nice. Then what will you say to the person? You say, you're a nutcase, you're crazy. If the car is, and he's walking. He's walking to work, or he's taking a bus to work, and his car is in his drawing room. I'm giving you a particularly ridiculous example so that we can understand what we do with the kalam of Allah. We use the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything other than the purpose for which it came. We keep it in the house as barakah. If you go into a new house, you carry the Quran in the new house as barakah. If somebody gets married, then they put the Quran on their head, and in the shade of the Quran they go from one house to the other. We invent new uses for the Quran. But the Quran didn't come to be an umbrella on your head. It didn't come to be a piece of decoration in your house. The Quran came for a purpose, and that purpose is so that you and I read it and we reflect on it. And not just read and reflect like philosophers, but read and reflect and then act on it. Amal. And the biggest proof that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came for the purpose of amal is the ba'sat of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is the sending, is the appointment of the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the only purpose of the coming of the messenger was not merely to recite the kalam and go away. The messenger came in order to implement the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and demonstrate to us that yes, this is doable. And this came so that it may be done. Now, the other day, yesterday, on Sunday, I did this presentation, Cosmology on the Quran, and those of you who attended it, just some of the things, for example, if you take the ayat with regard to in Surah Al-Takwir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions very specific mention of what today we know as black holes in space, which are planets which are extremely dense and which have a huge gravitational force, is so massive that anything that comes near it, it sucks it up. Including the gravitational force is so massive that even light does not escape from that planet. Even the light is grabbed. So it looks like a black hole. It's not actually a hole. It's a celestial body. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the black holes very specifically with the properties of the black hole. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions today what we know as pulsars, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the pulsar, and he mentioned specifically the knocking sound that it makes. It's like you knock on wood, tuck, 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 tuck. Now, centuries after the Quran was revealed, centuries after, more than 1300 or 1400 years after the Quran was revealed, they actually recorded the sound of a pulsar in Stanford University. And I played that in my presentation. Exactly the knocking sound of wood. And this was revealed 1400 years ago. Now think about this, that at the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this, there was no way for people even to be able to verify any of this, if they wanted to do it. There was no way. I mean, you either took the word of Allah on face value or you rejected it. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, here is a star, how do I know what star? It's only when the Hubble telescope got invented that we were able to get up there to see something. And that is 20th century. The Quran came 5th century. 5th and 6th century. So the point is that if you think about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed ayat, including for example the ayat about genetics and so on, where there was no way of even verifying them in those days. But Allah said, don't they reflect? So even today, there are things in the Quran and the specific ayat which I can mention to you where we really don't know the meaning. We do not know the meaning. We do not have the technology today to understand what it is. We have no technology to verify it. And of course, there are people in the world who, on that basis, they reject the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they say, well, this is not true. So then what must we do? 100 years ago, the pulsars were not true. 100 years ago, black holes were not true because we didn't have the technology to measure it. So now what do you do? 100 years later, it's true. 150 years ago, the entire genetic stuff in the Quran is not true because there was no way of measuring it. All of that became visible only after the invention of the microscope. Until then, you took the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at face value. This is what Allah said. Well, really we have to appreciate the iman of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, who actually accepted iman bil ghaib. Today, a lot of that iman bil ghaib is literally iman bil mushahida for us, because we know this. And on the one hand, we can feel happy about it, but on the other hand, it also means that our iman is so weak. Now, what about the rest of it? Because Allah did not mention these things just for the heck of it, so that entertainment value. This is what I did, this one. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this with a purpose, which is the akhirah. That one day we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a lot of things which we did not know, but which we come to know progressively as our knowledge improves. But there is one thing that we will never know. There is no way that mankind can ever actually physically demonstrate the existence of that. And that is the life after death. Nobody can do that. It's logically impossible, because how can you know what happens after you are dead? Because once you are dead, you can't know anything. So it's a logical impossibility that somebody can know what happens after death when that person himself or herself is subject to death. The only one who can know what happens after death is the one who is not subject to death. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Hayyul ladhi la yamut. And that is the bottom line fundamental reason for the revelation of the Quran is this. That we reflect on this fact that one day we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And because we reflect on it, we believe in it, alhamdulillah, therefore we bring our lives in line with the requirements of that standing. If we want that standing to be good, if we want to be forgiven, if we want to be honored on that day, then what must happen to our lives today? That is the purpose of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To reflect on it and to bring it into our lives in such a way that when we stand before Allah, it will be a time of happiness. It will be the best day of our lives, inshallah. And that's what I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make that day the best day of our lives. And the actions leading up to that day, the best actions of our lives. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.